Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. Yeah, come on, little computer. You can do it. Hey there, guys. I'm so glad to see you. Welcome to the Freedom Force Battalion. I'm Melissa Redpill. We're going to talk about biggest today. I've probably talked about this maybe four times. My first video on this was in 2019, where I talked about President Trump's royal lineage. And so I'm going to take you through that today. And also because connecting it with what has just recently happened, I knew that one day, someday, this would all come out. This would all be exposed. And I knew that one day we would see it, but I didn't know exactly when that would be. But I'm very excited to help connect all these dots. So if you're not familiar with our channel, definitely follow melissaredpill.com. Join us on our social media there. You'll see on melissaredpill.com, you'll see all of the social media. And so you can join with us there. So welcome. I hope you guys are having a great day and you're ready for fun with Melly as always. So first of all, I'm going to take you through the history, the biblical timeline of what is happening biblically that God has promised us for like thousands of years, seriously. And so, but then take you all the way to the end where this beautiful flag of ours was waving wildly. And when Charles and Camilla, which I don't really call king and queen, they can be king and queen of England if they want to, but not of the world. You know, people have treated them as if they were the king and queen of the world, but they're not. And so now we have our sovereignty back and we have our own rulers and we're not being led around by the nose by these people. Anyway, but the flags did not have the fringe on them. And so that was very, very cool to see that. So I'm excited to show that at the end. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And I'm also going to show you a little farther in, we're going to talk about President Trump's ancestry and going through his lineage. And he talked about this week, his mother, Mary McLeod. And so where she is in this royal lineage. And so, but they're not in the usurper line. They're in the true original line. I'm going to show you what that is. And so, yeah, this one is a very interesting post. I think that people are screeching about it. This is the Two Kings post by the White House. What is that about? And there, this is a beautiful photo of our President Trump. We don't really see a lot of photos like that of him, but it's so cute. And they're just, you know, hamming it up. And he did say something very interesting. He said that, you know, good man, he's a great man. We need more patriots in our country like this. Well, okay, that's okay. There's different schools of thought on this. One is that he is a mouthpiece for the cabal, that he was his job was to try to get President Trump to agree to, you know, to get out of Iran and to promote the Ukraine war, you know, because as we know, that's how they foment their, you know, their crimes against humanity and control the world, but is through all this, these wars. But I think he found out very quickly that he was not going to be successful in that, especially when President Trump posted just before he arrived. He says, well, that's nice. I've always wanted to live in Buckingham Palace. I'll talk to the king and queen about this in a few minutes. So they know. Trump knows, you know, Charles knows, everybody knows who President Trump is, that he truly does deserve to be in this this royal line, this biblical line. And I'm going to show you this really cool verse in Isaiah. No. Where is it? Genesis 49 at the end. You're like, what is that about? You wait to see that. But yeah, so I really think that there's, you know, he works for them. But some of this is 5D chess, that he's acting like, oh, he's, you know, we're in like, you know, besties. Some of that might be going on. But he's also, I think, pointing to that King Charles, the king of England, gave up his right to control our country. And we're going to be talking about that as we get a little bit farther in. But, you know, if he did say, you know, yes, legally, you have the right to have your own sovereign country. You have satisfied everything you need to satisfy so you can have your own sovereign country. Well, then that was actually good that he did that, that he was willing to recognize that we deserve to have our own country. And let's just be honest. If you're wondering if there was someone who was a king, would you choose, you know, Charles or President Trump? I'm just going to say that is a very easy choice. It's very interesting that, you know, we've had these no kings rallies, as President Trump said to Nora O'Donnell this week. You know, if I was a king, I wouldn't be dealing with you. I mean, because she was over there calling him terrible things I'm not going to say on this channel. And so, yeah, the thing about President Trump is he has an amazing amount of power, but he does not use it for evil like they have done. All right, so here we go. Okay, don't forget to hit the like button right now. Don't forget, because you are going to jump in here. We're going to be so busy that I'll probably not remember to tell you again. So definitely do that. And definitely go and do it. If you can, you know, comment, chat, and also put the chat over on YouTube also. We're both on YouTube and on Rumble. All right, so here we go. So make sure your bell is rung. A lot of people on YouTube aren't even aware that I'm back. I have like, I don't know, 70 or 80,000 followers on YouTube. But once I was banned for 5 years, a lot of people don't know I'm back on there. So please help to share this information so that people know that I'm back. All right, here we go. So this is the first thing I want to say, and this really coincides with what we just experienced with this beautiful Bible reading. It was so obvious. If you listen to the Bible reading that was just done through the National Bible Museum in Washington, D.C., and it was live streamed throughout the entire country, you will remember that this was the theme throughout. When you read the whole thing through, there's no doubt that there's a huge theme of that if you worship Baal, you'll have to be punished. You'll have to be scattered. And then that the Lord eventually, when it was time, that he would restore everyone. And that's what's been happening. We have been in exile. We cannot talk about this whole story of understanding the royalty unless we understand that humanity has been in a major timeout, in a major time of exile. And the reason for that is because we had to be scattered so that it would be less likely for them to be able to control us. Well, they are now at the point, because of AI and all these different things, social media, as much as I love social media, for us to be able to get together, they have, you know, this is a big problem. This AI has become where it's basically the world control mechanism, and all the, you know, cameras, and they control us through our phone, right? So now we're finally at the point where it's like, we have to take ownership of the world. We cannot, you know, this is not the horse and buggy days. This is the day where we have to grow up. We have to take ownership of the world. We have to rule and reign with Christ, as it says in Revelation 20. We have to, as the Lord told Adam and Eve, take dominion of this world. We there's no other option. And so we've got to, you know, grow up and not allow them to rule over us. So it says, you are not the only ones with whom I'm making this covenant, with its curses, with its consequences. I'm making this covenant both with you who stand here today in the presence of our Lord, our God, and also with the future generations who are not standing here today. That's talking about us. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 29. You remember how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we traveled through the lands of in enemies' nations as we left. You've seen their detestable practices and their idols made of wood, silver, stone, and gold. I'm making this covenant with you so that no one among you, no man or woman or clan or tribe, will turn away from the Lord our God to worship these gods. of other nations, and so that no root among you bears bitter and poisonous fruit. Oh my goodness, I could go into that whole thing, a whole talk about that. But we've seen it. They had seen it. They had physically seen it as they had traveled. They had seen the evils, the evil practices of the Egyptians and also of these other Canaanite lands. They'd seen how these people literally had sacrificed their children. They'd seen all of this. And they said, you cannot become involved in this. You cannot be part of this. And because then a root of bitterness is another way to say it. You remember that in the New Testament, it talks about that no root of bitterness springs up. You know, we've thought about, oh, well, that means that you don't, you know, you just all go along and get along in church and so that you don't have any bitterness. Well, that's true. You don't want to, you know, cause division and bitterness. But more importantly, it's pointing back to this verse in Genesis 29, that if you allow evil in the church, it's going to root up and infiltrate and take over the church, take over really any institution, a religious institution. And don't we see that? That's exactly what's happened throughout all the religious institutions. But I'm not going to get sidetracked into that. But I just wanted to point that out because that really is, you know, for those of you who know that verse I'm talking about in the New Testament, that's what it's really pointing to. We don't want to allow the evil to come in and infiltrate the church. Number 19, those who hear the warnings of this curse should not congratulate themselves thinking, I'm safe, even though I'm following the desires of my own stubborn heart. That would lead to, he said, don't think that just because you're like, oh, well, you know, I can get away with doing evil because it won't affect me. Don't think that. That would lead to utter ruin because there's no getting away with it. If you are walking in a way that you know, I'm talking to anybody here on this channel. If you know that there's something that you're doing that is against the Lord, if you even think in your heart, okay, I don't think that the Lord would want me to have to do this, don't do it. It harms your conscience. It harms your relationship with Him. So yeah, don't do it. It leads to ruin. You have to do what in your heart you know is right in the Lord's sight, because that's the only way to stay close with Him, right? The Lord will never pardon such people. Instead, His anger and jealousy will burn against them, and the curses written in this book will come down on them, and the Lord will erase their names from under heaven. What He means by that is, as far as the world has been concerned, we're the lost tribes of Israel. Our names have been erased. That people don't even know who we are. That we don't even know who we are ourselves. We're the lost tribes of Israel to ourselves. We don't even realize that we are the tribe in America. We're the tribe of Manasseh. How many people do you think know that? How many people do you think realize that we represent the tribe of Manasseh? Yes, we are a melting pot. Yes, we have people of all different, you know, whatever. But the point is, we are the tribes of Israel that have been scattered like seed throughout the world. And again, the reason the Lord did that was so that we wouldn't be under their control. The Lord will separate them from all the tribes of Israel to pour out on them the curses of the covenant recorded in this book of instruction. And that is exactly what we've seen since Jeremiah. I'm going to go read a little bit about Jeremiah in a second. He received this message that, yes, the Lord was going to remove the people from the land. And that's really what this book is about right here. End times, major clues for minor prophets. They were told they would have to get out of the land. I'm going to read some from Hosea from that book. End times, major clues for minor prophets. It's $2.99 on Amazon. And it's also, I've got the audiobook on melissaredpill.com. All right. So yes, the Lord said that this is what was going to happen, but He's going to restore us. Okay. He's going to restore us. And that's exactly what we have seen has happened. We've been scattered, but He's going to restore us. Verse 22, then the generations to come, that is us. That is us. Both your own descendants and the foreigners who come from distant lands will see the devastation of the land and the diseases that the Lord inflicts on it. They'll exclaim, this whole land is devastated by salt and sulfur. It is a wasteland with nothing planted, nothing growing, not even a blade of grass. It's like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and which the Lord destroyed in His intense anger. This is what's happened. The Lord has destroyed humanity. He's let us fall into our own sins, the consequences of our own sins, because we haven't listened. That's what's happened. You guys have the social media feed just like I do. You see the things that are happening, the mental illness, the physical illness, the poverty, the war torn, the riots, the confusion, the brainwashing. All of this has happened because of not listening, not surrendering to the Lord our God. We know there are people, and there are really a lot of nice people, good people, who just don't submit to the Lord and humble themselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I just ask you to please guide me every step of the way on everything you'd have me do. And that's what ends up happening is we end up bearing the consequences for our foolhardiness. When we think for ourselves and we don't ask him to direct our thoughts, it does not go well. It ends badly. We know that. So this is the destruction that happens because of not being under his umbrella of protection. And all the surrounding nations will ask, why has the Lord done this to this land? Why is he so angry? And the answer will be, this happened because the people of the land abandoned the covenant that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Instead, they turned away to serve gods and worship gods they had not known before, gods that were not from the Lord. In other words, whenever someone, for example, there's a pornography god. Whenever someone chooses to do that and use another person for that purpose, they're following after this pornography god. Okay. There was another one I just saw this morning about this woman who had denied all these claims. These people deserve these insurance claims, and she wrote on there denied. And she got very, very well to do financially. And she is very, you know, has a lot of guilt over this because people died because she denied their rightful claim. So she was worshiping the money god. Okay, that's what it's talking about. When you choose to not do the right thing, you're following a false god. And so that's exactly what the cabal wanted her to do. That's why she was lifted into this high position, because she would do their bidding. It's really that simple. If you do what the satanic criminal cabal wants you to do, then you'll be compensated. That is why the Lord's anger burned against this land, bringing down on it every curse accorded in this book. In this great anger and fury, the Lord uprooted the people from their land and banished them to another land where they still live today. And I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to show you how, when they were banished, where they went, where our ancestors went, and where we are now. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey and observe the terms of these instructions. So the next chapter goes into that the Lord would restore eventually us to this position. Let me see if I can go back and go to the next chapter. Chapter 30. Okay, so the next one, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I'll tell you what the next part was, that it says in chapter 30, verse 1, in the future, when you experience all these blessings and cursings I've listed for you, and when you're living among the nations to which the Lord has exiled you, take to heart all these instructions. If at that time you and your children return to the Lord your God, and if you obey with all your heart and all your soul all the commands I've given today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He'll have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations where he has scattered you. Even though you were banished to the ends of the earth, the Lord your God will gather you back from there and bring you back again. The Lord your God will return you to the land that belonged to your ancestors. You'll possess the land again. And it's, again, not talking about going to a physical land. It's talking about us having freedom in our own land, having our sovereignty. And I really do believe that that is exactly what happened the other day. I'm going to show you that video. I'm going to get to all this. There's a lot I want to show you. Oh, because, as Melania put out this video saying it was Coronation Day. Coronation Day. The coronavirus is trying to prevent us from getting the corona. The corona is the crown. And even in the heavens, if I'll show you here in a little bit, the constellations in the heavens, and you'll see that right beside Virgo, and she's about to give birth, there is a crown, and the serpent Ophiuchus is wrestling this serpent. The serpent is always trying to get the crown. And I'm going to show you the crown on President Trump's head in a second. The White House put out too. I've just got so much to show you. All right, so the point is, they're always trying to get the crown. They're trying to prevent us from having the crown, having our sovereignty. And I think it happened this week. I really do. All right. So this is what happened when, as I just read to you from Deuteronomy 29, that they would be scattered throughout the world. This is exactly where they went. I want to look at something real quick, making sure that everything is good over on YouTube land. Everything A-okay for you guys over there. I want to make sure that you guys are, everything's A-okay. And so don't forget to join in with the chat with all of our people. So I'm going to be posting some of the links here. So I'm sure our wonderful moderators will make sure that we get those popped into the comment section also for after the video. All right, so this is basically a picture of where they ended up going. If you look over here, this is Samaria and Jerusalem. Samaria is where the 10 northern tribes were. If you can imagine how big that is. It's basically between Houston and Dallas. It's not that like a 4-hour drive is to span the entire length of it. And so in the northern part is the 10 northern tribes. And then you've got the two tribes in the south, the capital being Jerusalem. And this all split apart, the divided kingdom after Solomon. And so you'll see, though, it didn't take very long for them to fall into the evil with having evil kings who led them into Baal worship. And the Lord says, you're going to have to be scattered out of this land because you've lost your inheritance. Okay. You're not going to have this land anymore because of this Baal worship. They joined with them and they weren't strong enough and tough enough to say, no, we're not going to participate in this. And it's hard because then you're isolated, you're canceled. We've experienced that. We know how hard it is when you choose not to take the you know what. All right, so this is where they moved. You see the little black arrows here. You'll see that they moved into Assyria under King Cyrus. And I think it's Isaiah chapter 45, there was talked about King Cyrus. He was a real king and he ruled the people in Assyria. And so they had been cast into this land. Well, he turned out to be a good king. And he told the people, he said, listen, the whole world is mine. I'm the king of the world. So you can move wherever you please. And that's exactly what he did. There's an amazing man named E. Raymond Capt, C-A-P-T, who has written this book. He's since gone to be with the Lord, but his book is called Missing Links Discovered in Assyrian Tablets. And he was able to decode those and determine where the people went all throughout the world and the known world at that time. So some into what we know of is Russia, some into India. But what this is pointing out is where they moved into Europe. And I'm going to show you how you can follow along and see where they went based upon their heraldry, based upon their flags. But many, as you see, these arrows end up going to what we know of as the British Isles. And so specifically like Hibernia right here is Ireland, Scotland, and Britain. And that's where it boils down to that the kingdom was translated from this area that had been infiltrated by the Baal worshippers into what is known as the British Isles. Okay, I'm going to show you how that happened. So the first thing I want you to see is how Jeremiah was told early on, he said that the Lord had put him to be a prophet for Israel, and he had given him a very special job. This is in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. And the Lord says, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have set this day, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to do these three things, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. All right, so this is Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. What is the job for Jeremiah? What is his role? Jeremiah had a very difficult job. He did. It was not an easy job for him. It was a sad job. He wrote the entire book of Lamentations. Lamentations means crying. He was lamenting because during his term as a prophet, they were losing the land. And he was going to be part of watching this happen. And the Lord says, your words are going to be to root out, to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So those are three things. Now we're still having the prophet Jeremiah speak to us as he is recorded in the Word of God. A lot of people have not necessarily read the book of Jeremiah, and I think that the church was infiltrated and told not to because the message from Jeremiah is so strong that about this exile, that we've been in exile. And that they didn't really want us to think about that. that, that we were, you know, they wanted, didn't want us to realize that what the whole eternal plan was from the Lord. They didn't want us to see the big picture. They just wanted us to think about, you know, having a happy day, or, you know, having a happy family, which everybody wants to have a happy day and a happy family. But we need to understand the big picture of what the Lord is doing and our role in it. And that's what's so great. I'm so glad that every one of you on this channel has done that. You've done that very thing. You have jumped in and said, okay, Lord, I want to be part of what you're doing. I want to be a part of the Freedom Force Battalion. I want to jump in with Melly, and we're going to share how this is biblical. We're going to share the truth with everybody. All right. So it says, you know, this rooting out. Well, what was he doing? He was rooting out the kingdom from this area in, you know, what we know of as, you know, Israel now. You know, this land then known for thousands of years really as Palestine, but that's another story too. But yeah, so that was, they were to root out this kingdom from there and transfer it over into this area in the, what we call the British Isles. And you will see there, you will have Jacobites. You will also have Saxons. Saxons is really short for Isaac's sons. Isaac's sons. Who's the son of Isaac? Is Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Saxon is Isaac's sons. Anglo-Saxon is, that's really what the, what it's, what it boiled down to. And also you'll find out more about the Judah kings. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, he was also told not to go into Egypt, not to leave that land. And all the leaders were told, and Jeremiah told them that, and they said, whatever the Lord says to do, that's what we're going to do. Well, as soon as they heard that Jeremiah's message from the Lord was to not leave the land, what did they want to do? They wanted to leave the land. They were afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were afraid to stay there because they were afraid that, you know, they would, Nebuchadnezzar would come back just like he had done. And they had seen the whole thing, you know, burn to the ground, and everything was all messed up and broken down. And they didn't want to stay there with everything. The few that were left didn't want to stay there with it all broken down. The few ones that had maybe hidden and weren't discovered. So they end up calling them, saying, you have to come with us and bring the two princesses. The two princesses were Tia Tefi and Skoda. I'm going to get to that. So those names are very significant. We're going to see that. But basically, they ended up hauling them into Egypt. And he said, no, we're not supposed to. Well, he had no choice. They forced the girls to go, the princesses to go. And so he had to go where they went. Well, they ended up taking the Stone of Destiny. I'm going to show you what that looks like in a second too. But you know, they ended up going into Egypt, and sure as the world, just like the Lord had told Jeremiah and he had told them, Nebuchadnezzar ended up coming into Egypt also. So later on, they're going to leave. Jeremiah will leave with the two princesses and head to what we know as the British Isles. All right. So yeah, just like Jeremiah had said, and I know he was so frustrated because the people wouldn't do what the Lord said and what he was telling them that the Lord had told them to do. But yeah, so what had happened with the two princesses, they had been hidden underneath in the catacombs of the, you know, there's just the whole thing is built on rock, and it's just all these catacombs under there. Well, they were hidden, and Nebuchadnezzar's men never found them, and so they were able to escape. But the two sons, his two sons, and the king had his two sons leave and try to escape. Well, they were quickly captured, and they were both killed. The two sons were killed. These were from the true line of Judah. They were both killed, and their father's eyes were gouged out before he was hauled off to be a prisoner in Babylon for the rest of his days. So they said, well, we've snuffed out the line of Judah. There can no longer be a Judah king because the two king's sons have died. Well, the great news was that was not the case, because the Lord had saved the two daughters, and that the line can go through the two daughters, Tia Tefi and Skoda, and they've made their way now to what we know of as Ireland. Now, you know what? I want to find something else, guys, because this is just really super, super cool. I'm going to show you super quick the Hill of Tara. I had forgotten to pull this. I got to go here. I was so excited to get to go. This is the Hill of Tara right here. Grab that. It's a figure eight. If you're familiar with the 17 board, you'll know that the green figure eight is one of our symbols. And I flipped out when I saw the Hill of Tara and I realized it's a figure eight. So yes, it's right there in Ireland. It's there are some people who end up going, but it was not easy to get there. We went on a cruise and we got to see so many of these landmarks there. Just so thankful we had to do that. But yeah, I was bound and determined that we were going to go to the Hill of Tara. So that is where is the first coronation site for the kings that they when they came to Ireland. This is where Tia Teffy was married to Harriman. There are two lines of Judah. I'm not going to go into the story. It's a quite interesting story. I've got another video I'll show you about that. But the two lines, the Ferez line and the Zara line, ended up joining right here on this Hill of Tara. And the Stone of Destiny was placed right there with everyone all around. And so they were able to hear. It's on the top of this beautiful hill. And it's acoustically where people can hear what people are saying. And so they ended up being crowned right there, the first Judah kings. The line that ended up is now that President Trump is part of this line. That's where I'm going with this. So very exciting. So yeah, this is called the Hill of Tara. If you're familiar with the movie, The Gone with the Wind, the whole thing was Tara. You'll never have Tara again. It's gone with the wind. You'll never have the kings, the Judah kings. Forget that thought because you're never going to have it again. Well, God's word, and it is what will stand. Everything else will fade away, but the word of God stands. The word of God is His promises. Nothing can stop what is coming because this is the Lord's plan. All right. So you know, funny thing is, when we're over in Ireland, we saw all these buildings, and they're all Zara this and Zara that. So the first of the two lines of Judah, one had already come over the line of with Harriman. He ended up coming over into the British Isles, and so now Tia Teffy has joined with him. So that, as the Bible talks about, the two sticks were rejoined right here, and that was the beginning of the Judah kings. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the same thing with our. I have a feeling that Melania is part of the Judah line also. I would not be surprised at all if these are two sticks that have rejoined like that too. I wouldn't be surprised. Would you? All right. So now I want you to see what it says in Hosea. The book of Hosea and I go into this again in this book, The Major Clues for Minor Prophets. So I break down what's the real understanding of these minor prophet books. The Hosea was to marry a prostitute. He married her just like the Lord said to do. He married her and ended up, you know, she did exactly what, you know, a prostitute would do, and she was unfaithful to him. And it's a picture of God's people being unfaithful to him. But then, spoiler alert, at the end, they get back together and live happily ever after. And that's the picture of where we are as humanity. We've you know, been exiled, sent away because of our sin, but then when we'll be restored and married in Hephzibah, right? That is in another passage. I think that's in Zephaniah. Anyway, so here it says, O Lord, O Israel, when I first found you, it was like finding fresh grapes in the desert. When I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing the first ripe figs of the season. But then they deserted me for Baal, giving themselves to that shameful idol. Soon they became vile as the God they worship. The God of the glory of Israel will fly away like a bird. And for your children will not be born or grow in the womb or even be conceived. This is what ends up happening when we worship Satan. You get the consequences of the sin. Even if you do have children who grow up, I'll take them away. And it'll be a terrible day when I turn away and leave you alone. And I will tell you, it has been terrible. It has been terrible worldwide. America has been, you know, we were the last ones to realize what was going on because they kind of hit a lot of this. But these people who've suffered in Iran, Venezuela, China, Gaza, I mean, it's just been literal hell on earth, right? Okay, so I see a wooden shoe. What's wrong, wooden shoe? Give me a Oh, is it because somebody's on there? Okay, thank you. The moderator got it. Okay, we're all good. All right, so I just want to make sure my sound is working. Everything's going good. I'm so glad. Anyway, so it says I've watched Israel become as beautiful as Tyre, but now Israel will bring her children for slaughter, and that's exactly what we've seen. All the abortion, it's just endless. All that has happened, and the consequences for the evil. But we are the good news is we are on the timeline of history when the exile is over and the golden age is starting, and no more will we be ruled by the cabal, the New World Order, the satanic group anymore. All right, so yeah, so that's basically what I won't read the whole portion of Hosea, but that's what had happened is they were cast off, and then at the end they do get back together, and that's where we are on the timeline of history. And then in Zephaniah, I wanted to show you a portion. It says at the end, oh, I love this. I love this. I want to read the whole thing of Zephaniah. I love this. On that day, you'll no longer need to be ashamed, for you will no longer be rebels against me. I'll remove all proud and arrogant people from among you. There will be no more haughtiness on my holy mountain. In other words, everyone will worship the Lord. Everyone will recognize him and realize what we've been through. That's why everyone's going to be restored to each other, because we're all going to realize what has happened and that we're all restored to the Lord. And all this division will end, because it'll no longer be fomented by these criminals, because they'll be gone. Those who are left will be the lowly and humble, for it is they who trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will never tell lies or deceive one another. They will eat and sleep in safety, and no one will make them afraid. Shout, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart. For the Lord your God will remove his hand of judgment and will disperse the armies of your enemy. The Lord himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. At last, your troubles will be over. You will never again fear disaster. On that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, cheer up, Zion. Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He'll take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he'll calm all your fears. He'll rejoice over you with joyful songs. All right, I've read that before you, but I just wanted you to connect it to how the whole picture of what is going on. The exile is over. Okay, so back to where when we were scattered throughout the earth, this is where we were scattered to. And I want to show you this page. I'm gonna pop this into the chat, this link right here, freedomforce.live/ flags. And if you want to go and see the flags of that represent each of the tribes of Israel, this is where you want to go. It's really a beautiful, fun research. But this is basically where each of the tribes moved to. Simeon here, Levi here, Judah. Actually, look at there. I didn't even notice this before. Judah went to Estonia. Now, I would not be surprised if this is maybe where it ended up. Melania is from, because being part of the tribes of Judah. Wouldn't that be something? That's something. It'd be a really good one to research. Wouldn't that be something really cool to research, to see if that's the case? You know, where she's from, is that really where there were a lot of Judah kings? Okay, so then here you've got Judah right here in a lot, you know, I'll just call British Isles, Ephraim, Naphtali, and you'll see Dan is in like the Danube River in Germany, and all throughout there. All right, so then if you look here, these are the original tribes of Israel and the blessings they received from their father, Jacob, Israel, and how, let's say, for example, Zebulun has these ships. Well, you'll look up here and you'll see, oh, Zebulun is in this area where they make ships, right? Right there, Zebulun there, Zebulun here. All right, so you can track them by their heraldry. You'll see Dan has the snake and the eagle. You'll see Ephraim has the bull and the donkey and the unicorn of all things. Anyway, various ones. So let's just go, and that's the land of Israel that was divided, the northern tribes and the southern tribes, and this is how they were moved into the Babylon in the Assyrian Empire. And then you'll see here the Benjamin flags. And you'll see right here, just like it says, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, he devours the prey, and in the evening, he divides the spoil. So you'll see Switzerland has this wolf, Hagen. borough in Germany has this wolf. This directly ties them back to the tribe of Benjamin. Isn't that cool? Isn't that so awesome? I love that. So if you just scroll down and you can, you know, come and enjoy researching each one of these because it's very fun to see. So here is, for example, Simeon and Levi, the castle. Look at this. There you see in Bath, England, in Swansea, Wales, in Spandau, Berlin, Germany, you'll see these castles and you'll see how these tribes went. You can follow them very, very easily through their heraldry. And then sometimes you'll see that the flag has multiple symbols. Well, that means you've got, like in this case, you've got Simeon and Levi on the symbols, on the either the crests or on the flags. All right. So I want you to see that. Let me just scroll down and I want you to see the tribe of, there's the one of Judah. And you'll see that this is the United Kingdom. The tribes of Judah had moved into this land. And as you know, this is the promise that they would have the rule. Judah is a lion's whelp. He crouches, he lies down as a lion. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. There you go. And so this is exactly what we have seen, that they have ruled from this area right here. Clearly. And throughout history, we've seen them have their imperialistic regime from England, from the United Kingdom. There you see, again, in Denmark and in Baden-Württemberg, whatever that is. Here's us also in Estonia, and they have the right to rule. Here is Manasseh. Look at Manasseh. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring. Its branches run over a wall. The archers bitterly attacked him and shot at him and harassed him. So they have the arches, the arrows and the olive branch, the peace through strength, right? So this is exactly the symbol that we have on the great seal of the USA with the eagle of Dan and the olive branch and the arrows of Manasseh. So we have both here in our country. And you've seen it many times where President Trump is out there with these symbols and he's expecting us to start to look and piece these things together. So I'm very glad that we have. So definitely go and check this out whenever you have time. It's all made, I've put it all together and put it over on freedomforce.live/flags. All right. So that, you know, where many of us ended up coming from, you'll see these arrows and that many of us came from the United Kingdom. That's exactly where we came from because yes, we had the good kings. Yes, it started out with Tia Teffy, and I think that's where you get the British tea. And we also had Scotland, which is from that second princess, Skoda, and it was being run properly and run well and just exactly as the Lord had told Jeremiah, he wants you to root this up and plant. But if you remember, it also says to destroy and to throw down. So eventually, because the infiltrators had taken over, again, as they always do, then this was brought over into America. We left, our ancestors left. We said, we're not going to be a part of where we cannot worship the Lord. We are not going, and we're also not going to allow them to kill us all off. That's basically what they were doing. And they were also, anyone who would speak the word of God, they would arrest them. I mean, it was, we know that. Y'all know our history and how we came over here. And now to build and to plant, I really do think that that is about America, that here, finally, we can be settled. They tried to infiltrate. They've done very successfully. They've tried to take over. But now in America, we will finally be able to be settled and to build and to plant in America. So it was transferred from the Middle East to the United Kingdom, now to America. And I really do believe that that is what it's talking about right here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. All right. So yeah, I want you to see that. If you want to see more about the books, I'll pop the link right here. But these are the books right here on on Amazon for $2.99, and you can get the paperback also. But that's the one, Major Clues for Minor Prophets. A lot of this is from that, as well as this one is the decode of the Book of Revelation. And I have a whole series on that if you're new to this, the whole series on going chapter by chapter by chapter, and how we have workbooks, we have study guides, so you can really come out of the deception. They really have infiltrated the end times teaching, and I'm so glad that the Lord helped me piece it together biblically. And also the Golden Age, where we're headed, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful. Okay, so here's the link right here for you guys if you haven't gotten the books. And also go to melissaredpill.com and you can listen to the audiobooks there and hear how it's in my head. All right, so this is the video that Melania put out the other day. Of course, the White House put this out on TikTok. I want you to see this whole thing. And I put it on YouTube. They wouldn't let me play the little song about Coronation Day. It wouldn't let me play that, but I actually, on this video, I ended up speaking it, and I want you to see the different symbols. I might stop during the little portions to let you see this, but this is a lot of symbolism that they put out there, because they know this information that I'm telling you. That Charles knows, President Trump knows, Melania knows, and now it's time for the whole world to know. And I'm very glad that we have this. All right, so this is the first part of the video. The White House X account posted a picture of Charles and President Trump saying two kings. You can hear the screeching from here. Yesterday was a wild day. I want to make sure that you saw this post, Coronation Day. Watch for the crowns that are on Charles and President Trump's head, and President Trump's crown is bigger. It's Coronation Day. It's Coronation Day. The window is open, so is that the door? I didn't know that they did that anymore. Who knew we owned 1,000 salad plates? For years I've roamed these empty halls. Why have a ballroom with no balls? Finally, they're opening up that gate. Finally, they're opening up that gate. And there's our wonderful president with a crown on his head. What is that about? I'm going to say, you know, the verse in God's word that says, open up the gates that the King of Glory may come in. I'm just going to say, if you're not familiar, I am Melissa Redpill, and I've actually in a video back in 2019 talking about that President Trump was in the line of the Judah kings. And last night, Charles, and I'm not even going to call him King Charles because I believe he's a usurper, he gave President Trump this bell from the HMS Trump. And check out what he said.
So tonight, Mr. President, I am delighted to present to you as a personal gift the original bell which hung on the conning tower of your valiant namesake. Should you ever need to get hold of us, or just give us a ring.
This is the bell up close, kind of cool. Trump 1944. Bells are universal symbols of announcement, transition, and community, serving to mark the passage of time, signal the start or end of significant events, and call people together for prayer or celebration. They represent clarity and awareness, often used in spiritual rituals to dispel negativity, purify sacred places, and invite higher consciousness or divine presence. Boom. All of that. I'm up for all of that. It signifies end of British maritime law. We are sovereign and free of British rule for the first time. Physical presence and public witness complete their legal record, with the King and Queen, Charles and Camilla, serving as the two living witnesses, providing full and lawful testimony that America has fulfilled the conditions necessary to restore its sovereign state. As the living head of the British crown that has governed America through admiralty law, the King carries the essential authority to lawfully sign off the end of that system, the return of America's sovereignty, and the shift back to the law of the land. Thank you so much for Carol Lee Merrill putting that together. You can see, as they're playing the national anthem, our wonderful American flag is waving without fringe. Definitely check out for more of this information over on melissaredpill.com. Check it out, and I will talk to you later. Okay, I'm not leaving yet, right? Okay, everybody. But yeah, so that I just put together that short clip. I'm learning how to do some shorts. So I'll just pop this one over here if you guys want to go and have that and bookmark it and save it, because I think that was a short one and something easy to kind of give someone a primer on what is going on. It was big, and I just love that this flag was, you know, does the Star Spangled Banner, does the oh say does that Star Spangled Banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, yes, it does. It does. We are now, I believe we have our sovereignty back. And I don't know about you, but it seems like so much is happening ever since that day. It really seems like things are going so, so fast. They opened up the Keystone Pipeline. And I was just saying, I think that maybe the reason for that is because they wouldn't, if they own the rights to that oil, the mineral rights, because it was in a planet underground, then they would have their grimy hands on it. And we don't want them to, we do not want to have their grimy hands on any of our proceeds of any of our work. So that, like they always have. You, like, for example, the land that you own, if you own a house, you own that house, you own the slab, but you don't own anything, you know, 20 feet under. That doesn't belong to you. And so that's how they've played it all this time. You really don't really own the mineral rights. And I have a feeling, I don't know for sure, but that's why President Trump waited to open the Keystone Pipeline until we got our sovereignty back so that they no longer can get their grimy hands on it. What do you guys think? I think so too. Capitulations tour. All right. So yeah, I want you to see that. Now you guys have that. I'll pop that over into the, in both chats. I'm trying to do both chats. All right. Actually, you know what? All right. So I'll do that. Now, the next thing I wanted you to see is why do I believe that President Trump has this right to be the Judah King? And I'm going to show you his lineage. And so but it has to start back with this. If you remember, Jacob, again, his name was ended up being changed to Israel. He fled from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him, his evil twin brother, and who did not like that he was going to, you know, be cut out of this blessing. Well, he didn't want the blessing of leading the world into righteousness anyway. Esau was from his family is called Edom in the Bible. Every time you hear about this family, they're always doing eat something evil. Again, that's in this book, Major Clues for Minor Prophets, where you can find out about in the book of Obadiah. It's talking about this group of Edomites and how they're so evil. So he was running from his brother Esau, and he ended up going to the Mount Beth El. And so he's praying to the Lord. He says, "Lord, please, I want to, you know, to be able to, you know, I want you to bless me just like you did my father Isaac and my grandfather Abraham." And so he went to sleep on this rock. And it's a pretty good picture. It looks like he's on this good sized rock. And so he's sleeping, you know, sitting up, and they call it Jacob's pillow or Jacob's pillar. And if you remember, and when he went to sleep, he ended up seeing this staircase into heaven, and the angels were coming up and down. And basically, it was his life, his family would be the blessed family that would have the ministry of angels going up and down from heaven that would really lead the world into righteousness. And we are the benefactors of that, being the what I believe is the lost tribes of Israel, whether we are the physical progeny or the grafted in, it doesn't matter. We're part of this family. We are true Israelites if you have the same faith as Abraham. And so Jacob had the same faith as Abraham, even though Esau didn't. So that tells you right there, the bloodline does not matter. The bloodline didn't matter. Esau didn't have true faith, right? But Jacob did. And in the book of Jasher, it talks about that Abraham wanted the line, the blessing to go to Jacob. Anyway, again, his name was changed later on to Israel when they wrestled the Lord. All right, so he sees this, but this beautiful stone, not really that beautiful, to be honest, but it's beautiful because it's blessed, and it was the first stair in the staircase to heaven. He took it and lifted it up, this huge stone, and he lifted it up on its end, and he poured the oil onto the stone. The little bit of oil that he had, he was saying, "Lord, I trust you that you are going to fulfill this promise to me, and I'm not going to hold on to this oil. I'm going to pour this oil out on this stone because I know that you will provide for me, and there's no two ways about it." And that's the same faith that you have, that you know the Lord is going to deliver the world. He's going to set us free from this criminal cabal one way or the other, and that we trust him, and we're willing to basically pour out our lives as that offering. Just like Paul said, "I'm pouring out my life." And each of us has put ourselves at risk. We've, you know, maybe lost jobs. We've lost family members. We've lost a lot of different things, you know, relationships. But this is the same faith that Jacob had. All right. So I want you to see what he told him here. It says, over a little bit. Let me see if I can find that verse I wanted to read to you. Okay, so this is where it talks about in the book of Genesis. It says, so Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram to stay with his uncle. Esau knew his father Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him to Paddan Aram to find a wife. You must, because he said, you must not marry a Canaanite woman, basically a Canaanite cannibal woman. And he also knew that Jacob had obeyed his parents and gone to Paddan Aram. It was now very clear to Esau that his father didn't like the local Canaanite women. Hello. So Esau visited his uncle's. Anyway, I'm going to pass on that. Okay, let me go on down to verse 10. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp, and he stopped for the night Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and to lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth to heaven. He saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord. And he said, I'm the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. The ground you're lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. In other words, you're going to be sovereign. You will be a man on the land who has his own sovereign rights, just like what I believe we just got in our country. We finally got our sovereign rights. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They'll spread out in all directions, the west and the east, the north and the south. The Lord had seen he would scatter them, not just keep them in this one little area in the Middle East, but have them scattered throughout the world. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. That's what he asked, and that's what the Lord blessed him. Our root is in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that we have this same faith as that they did. And now we have gone from the east to the west, to the north, to the south, all over the world. And just like I was showing you on that picture, that we've scattered and even into America. And what's more, with you, I am with you. I'll protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've finished giving you everything I have promised you. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. This is where we are. This is where we are, you guys. Pinch yourself. We're finally at this point when we're going to receive the blessing of the land. It's not about dirt. It's about sovereignty. It's about ruling and reigning with Christ, about the evildoers being cast out and for good people to rule this earth. This is where we are. That's so exciting. All right. So this is what this stone looks like now. Now, I will say that I'm not convinced that this is the real stone. Either way, at this stone palace in Perth, England, it's not at the Edinburgh Castle. It's in Perth at this stone palace. I got to go and see it, and I physically was in this room. They have a video, and on the video they say this is the pillow of Jacob when he fell asleep and he saw the angels ascending and descending, and he was leaning his head on this stone right here. This is also called the Stone of Destiny. I believe it's the same stone from folklore where the sword and the stone. And then who's the one who is able to take the sword out of the stone? Sword and the stone right here. But the point is, it's you know, this folklore. Who's the one who deserves to rule? Right? You know, see where I'm going with this. But yeah, they tell the whole story and you're obviously not allowed to touch it. And I personally think, because I ended up going to, okay, this is the museum. There's the stone palace, in just a little bit up the road, we ended up going there, and I talked to the people who run the place, and they said that they believe that when King Edward's men, who were coming in to usurp the throne from the rightful kings, when they came, the priest ended up hiding the stone. They knew they were coming, so they hid this stone because they the real stone, and they replaced it with this fake one. That's what they believe is the case. And so all those years that they had ended up taking and using the fake stone. So I don't know. There's differences of opinion on both sides. Either way, the one that they have right there in this museum, they're recognizing as Jacob's pillow. And they say it's the number one most prized possession of all of England, Well, it was actually returned to Scotland. This is in Scotland. They had returned it because they said they were the rightful owners of this stone. It was after they had taken it, it had been stolen out of the throne of Queen Elizabeth. I'll show you that in just a second. All right. Well, just a little side note. While we're there, guess who is there? Theresa May, of all people. And I'm standing there. I'm like, I'm branding at my family. I'm like, y'all, Theresa May's here. Either way, whatever. I just thought that was interesting that she was there. But then as soon as my parents came out, they're like, she's gone. I'm like, I wasn't kidding. I was telling the truth. All right. So this is the passage talking about the stone. And I don't think that many of us have realized this was never taught to us in God's, in the church. Here it's talking about in 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 4, it talks about all of them ate the same spiritual food, all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. I think that's the rock it's talking about. Back in the day, they remember how Moses struck the rock and water poured forth. I think it's this rock. Water poured forth out of this rock. Because if you have a rock that is like just a rock in the ground and someone hits it, oh, that made a geyser. No. This was a movable rock. And you can't see it from this picture, but there are rings on the top. So they would put the pole through to carry this stone all throughout the desert. They had to have a movable rock. And that rock was Christ. He is our sustenance. He is the one who travels with us, just like in the wilderness with our forefathers. And that he is the one who is the living water, who sustains us. Amen? Isn't that cool? That is what it's talking about right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. They drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them. That rock was Christ. And he travels with you. He's right there where you are. He's wherever you go. He is the one who sustains you. And this is how they were provided water in the desert. And haven't we been in a desert? And the Lord has sustained us. Amen? So I just thought that was so cool. I want you to see that. Super, super cool. All right. Now, the next thing I wanted to point out is that, when they brought the stone here, all the kings were being crowned here in Ireland and in Scotland, the true Judah kings. You'll see on these movies, they talk about the Jacobites, and these are the sons of Jacob. And so the movie Braveheart is really about them saying, we cannot relinquish the crown from Scotland. We have the royal right to rule, and we can't allow them to take this. And this is what's so brave about Braveheart, is that the King Edward and all of his sort, these usurpers, were pure evil. They were really basically Edomites, Satan worshipers, who were ruthless, absolutely ruthless. And you see on this movie, and I'll read a little bit of it to you, but basically, how ruthless they were to Mel Gibson's character, William Wallace. In 1280, Edward I of England, known as Longshanks, conquered Scotland following the death of the Scots king, who left no heir. So they're in a quandary. They're in a pickle. And it allowed the usurpers to take over. And so they're going to fight for the kingdom, but it's going to be difficult because you don't have a rightful heir. And so young William Wallace witnessed the aftermath of Longshanks' execution of several Scottish nobles, and then he loses his father and brother when they resist the English. They resist the rule because these people would lead them into doing their evil everything. Baal worship, pedophilia, all the rest of it, all the evil stuff that we have seen that they've tried to, we're resisting them doing this in our country too. We're like, are you kidding me? We're not going to have these evil things going on in our country, right? The abortion, we've done the same thing. We've tried to stop them, and it's just been these people won't stop. They're just pure evil. So years later, Longshanks granted his nobleman land and privileges in Scotland. And then meanwhile, a grown-up Wallace returns home, secretly marries. Anyway, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But basically, you see how they are. He fought them. That's what the whole movie is about. It's about losing the sovereignty and how he fought valiantly to try to keep that from happening. But again, I go back to what the Lord told to Jeremiah, that he would also uproot it and replant it, and it really ended up being in America. This was all in God's eternal plan, that we would leave there to not be under their thumb and come here to the land of the free and the home of the brave with our beautiful flag waving, right? So yeah, at the execution, Wallace refused to submit, even when being disemboweled. The magistrate encouraged Wallace to seek mercy and be granted a quick death, and instead, he shouted freedom while Longshank dies. He shouted freedom. Remember, that's the most compelling part of this movie. This is what we are doing, the same thing, really, not quite to that extent, but we're saying freedom. We have to have freedom. We cannot allow these people to rule over us. And that's really what it boils, what it boils down to. And so now I'm going to show you my video of that I did years ago, and I'll pop this link into the chat. I don't think I have it on YouTube yet. I might go ahead and pop it under YouTube. I just don't know if I have it over there yet. I just got back on it. It might be over there. Somebody go and see if they can find it over there, and then you can tell me if you find it. All right. So, because actually, a lot of the videos that I think all the videos I put years ago are still there. All right. So now, if you look here, you'll see the name of the is Lost Tribes of Israel Found, Trump Royal Line of Judah, Right to Scottish Throne. And so here I go into this, the prophet of Jeremiah and King Zedekiah's daughters in Ireland. It says Ireland, the coat of arms. I want you to see this. It's a little bit small. Let me see if I can make it a little bigger. Let's see if I can. Oh, that's big. Okay. Yeah, there you go. I just got rid of myself, but that's okay. This is the coat of arms that shows David's harp. It also shows Zara's red hand. If you remember the two tribes I was telling you about before, Zara, that is represented by a little red hand. So there you go. You see the red hand, and also you see the crowns. You'll see the Dan eagle that I was showing you about before, as well as the sword. So I want you to see that. So that's in this movie and this video I made. And I also go into what is the stone. I'm struggling to have it big. Oh, there you go. That's a little bit better. All right. So this is the stone on the left is the one that was taken from England. It weighs 458 pounds. And then the one that was sent to England weighs 336 pounds. I have a feeling that this is the one right here that is the one in that museum, and it's the fake one. I have a feeling at that stone palace they have hidden away, and President Trump knows where the true stone is. Either way, it is a blessed stone, no doubt. It is, they said, their number one most prized possession, even if they don't even know exactly where the real one is. I think that's why they were willing to give back the fake one. But the point is, it's the coronation stone. And as the song, as the little clip said, this is coronation day. So at some point, I think we'll see the real stone. I think we will. All right, so I want you to see that there are two stones, and there's a story about, and I go into on this video, where there were some people who went and actually stole it out of the castle. How they got in there is kind of interesting. Oh, I thought I had a picture of that. I had it pulled up, and it's okay. There it is. There is the throne of Queen Elizabeth. Remember when she was crowned? She's in this. And sitting in this throne, and she's got this gigantic dress. It's covering up the stone. You can't see that there's the stone that's placed inside this throne. And the history is that all of the kings were coronated sitting on this stone. That's why they have the stone inside this throne. And so, she is, not wanting anyone to see this. She covered it up with her dress because she didn't want anyone to realize that was not the real stone. The real stone is not chipped and broken in places like that. That's what I feel sure that was the case. And so she knew the gig was up, that they had been having the stone and ruling all these years. But anyway, it was switched out. Either way, she knew it was not the real stone. So it's hard to piece together, what is the truth? You get different conflicting stories. But the real stone that was Jacob's pillow, I feel sure President Trump knows where it is. All right, so I want you to see that. And then This is the other thing I go into on this video. On this video, I show this line, and you might want to just take a screenshot of this. These are the royal lines from Zara and Pharez. As I said, there were two sons. They both had the right to rule. One had moved to what we now know as the United Kingdom, and one was ruling in Israel. When Nebuchadnezzar came and sacked Israel, Jerusalem specifically, the two princesses survived and they were brought over and they were crowned on that beautiful hill of Tara I was just showing you. So these are the two lines, the Zara and the Pharez line. And so you'll notice here, if you follow the Zara line of Judah, you'll see this scarlet cord and you'll see that it moved through the Cretan kings, the Trojan kings, and then it broke off into the Milesian kings. You've got the Frankish kings, the Scandinavian kings coming down through history that they have the right, have the right to rule. The House of Wecta, the House of Skjold, and then moving down to the kings of Denmark and Greece, and down to, you know, this is the area that went down to. And then you notice here the line of Pharez is completely different. It's the second royal line. And so this one you have where David had Solomon, and then you have this line of Nathan over on the shooting out on the right. Then Zedekiah, if you look right here in the middle, you'll see where it from the Solomon line, you'll have Zedekiah's two daughters, Tiatefi and Skoda, ended up being the ones in this line to continue. They thought that wouldn't be able to happen, but it does, even though they were girls, okay? So then you'll keep passing forward, and these two lines join together. These two lines of Zara and Pharez join together in the kings of Ireland. That's where you have the two sticks rejoin. This is where you have Tiatefi and Hariman rejoined, as the Lord had said would happen. And then you have the kings of Scotland, just like I was saying, Skoda, the other princess who's became the royal line of in Scotland. And this is where you see President Trump is right in this area right here and joined into this line. Now they have actually come in and they've usurped this line because they may be related, but not in a way that they can be considered the royal line. Okay, that's where you have George V, George VI, and Elizabeth II, that they are not part of the royal line. So here is where President Trump had posted this royal ancestry. Now, it's very, very small. It's very, very hard to read. But I just wanted to remind you that he posted this picture, and he's never really done that before. So this is a really great, a great timeline that we're on to see that he's now admitting, in a way, you know how he does. You know, he's kind of makes it out like it's a joke, but he's seeding this in everyone's thoughts that he is in the royal line. And so, as he said, you know, I'll talk to the king and queen about this in a few minutes. Anyway, they all know. Okay, so here again, I made it a little bit bigger, but it's still really, really hard to read. So I'll show you how on that video I was just showing you before, the Lost Tribes of Israel, I went into a much bigger, much more detail on it. It's at the 1 hour, 9 minute mark if you want to go and watch that video. But here, starting from John Stewart and Elizabeth Stewart, that's where you see President Trump's is going to end up coming from this line. So then you also have this king. Remember I was showing you the kings of Denmark? This is where it picks up from that other picture I was showing you of the kings of Denmark right here. And I'm going to show you how it connects to where President Trump is. Margaret of Oldenburg, King James IV of Scotland, Margaret Stuart, George Gordon, the 4th Earl of Huntly, Jane Gordon. Let's see if I can. Then it connects down to Donald McKay, the 1st Lord of Ray, and Monroe, Isabella McKay, Alexander McKay, Robert McKay. And then you keep going down, and you'll see under Robert McKay, you'll see Ancis McKay, Mary McKay, Donald MacLeod, Catherine MacLeod. Okay, so that's where it gets to. Mary MacLeod was right here. Let me see if I can find the one where it gets down to Mary MacLeod. There you go. There it is, right there. Donald MacLeod, Catherine MacLeod, Alexander MacLeod, Malcolm MacLeod, and Mary Ann Trump. This is President Trump's mother. So there you go. That is the royal line that President Trump is about, is part of. Okay, so someone, okay, see, you've got a message for me. Okay, so, all right, so no, that's not a message for me. That's for the moderators. Moderators, check that out. Thank you. All right, so now, thank you for helping everybody. We just want to make sure our chat is a great place for everyone to be able to enjoy and not be taken over. That's what the cabal does. They love our channel to attack. All right, so thanks, Songbird, for handling all this. All right, so there you go. There is President Trump's royal lineage right there. And it's an amazing day to watch this happen. And the honest truth is, someone could say all day long that they're in the royal line, but I think that we see by President Trump's actions that he is the rightful heir, that he really is, because let's just be honest, Charles hasn't done anything to save the world. You know, none of these others have. They just didn't. President Trump has stopped, what is it, how many wars are we on? 9 wars? Going on 10? He is doing what you would expect a good king to do, just like Josiah, just like these good ones like Nehemiah and Ezra who came back into the land. This is what you would expect to happen. And this is why it's so biblical, because as soon as you had the good kings return, they would read the entire word of God and they would do the rededication. And that's exactly what we experienced last week. We saw the entire Bible from cover to cover was read aloud and live streamed, the biggest live stream Bible reading event of all time. And now we're going to see on the 17th of May, the rededication of our country to the Lord. This is what you would see. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. You know, we're not just restoring our sovereignty. We're restoring our country to the Lord. This is biblical, huge. All right. So this is the one I have. I'll pop this. I think I already gave you that one. We're good. I think you have that. All right. Along with that, President Trump. Oh, I know what I was going to show you. I want you to see about the beekeeper. Do I have that one? Okay. I want to make sure that's not. That's not what I wanted to do. That's too loud. All right. So this is about President Trump posting from the White House X account that he's the beekeeper. What is that about? I'm going to try to find the link I have for you on this. Okay. Here it is. This is where they were going out to look at the bees and the beehive. And what is the symbolism of that? Really amazing. If you remember, see if I can make sure that I have everything to show you. Sorry about that. Okay, here we go. When they got out there to see the beehive that's on the White House South Lawn, this is what was out there. A beautiful White House that's a beehive. It's a beehive set up to look like a White House. So what is he saying? He's saying that we are the royalty now. The royal line is here and ruling from the White House. The bees are here. We are the bees. And what is the bee? Of course, everyone knows about the queen bee, right? But they're sitting there looking at all this and listening. But all this is being explained to them. And they're, you know, looks like this is just something fun to go look at. No, this is a transfer of the power, and that you have to tell the bees. Just like when, this sounds crazy to us, but this is tradition that you tell the bees when there's a transition from, for example, when Queen Elizabeth died, you went out and told the bees, the queen is dead, long live the king. And so of their own, they can have their own sovereign country. They can have, you know, just don't come and tell us what to do, right? Just like your great-grandfather George, we didn't want to hear about what he wanted us to do either. And as you know, he went before Congress and everyone, you know, did a standing ovation, and they're all knowing that they really serve him. These people in Congress, not all of them, but the majority, serve him. And he was saying he wanted to, you know, end the Iran conflict and gin up, you know, getting this all resolved, whatever, the war in Ukraine. So they act like they're trying to do what he's saying. But President Trump is saying, we are the rulers now. And we're telling the bees. So this is a picture of Napoleon Bonaparte, who has a cape with bees on it. I always thought it was little cute little black spots, but they're not round. What are these? But they're bees, because he's saying that he has the royal right to rule. That's what he was signifying with that. And they all know this symbolism. All right, so I want you to see that, but I want you to see the one where he's got his hand. Where do I have that one? I talk about this more on this video right here, which is the true king. I'm sorry, this one here, Trump royalty. I go into that a little bit more, so you might want to check that video out over on Red Pill the World on my Rumble account. So, or you can look on the YouTube. Okay, I wanted to show you this other one. Let me see if I can find this other one where President Trump is pointing out about the bees. Let me see if I can find it super, super quick. Queen, I don't know. People are funny. All right, so let me see if I can find this other one. No, it was linked. I thought I had it pulled up for you guys, and I don't see it. Let's see. Hey, bear with me real quick. I'm going to see if I can find this where he is. Maybe it's a MAGA bee. Here, let me just, it's a MAGA bee. President Trump. Maybe I can find it like that. All right, so I'm not seeing it, but you guys probably saw the picture of President Trump holding the bee in his hand. And Melania's got this look of like terror, like, oh my goodness, the bee is going to sting you. But it did not. The bee did not sting him. Let's see if I can grab this super quick. I'll find it over. Let's see if I can. MAGA bee. Okay, yay, I think I found it. I think this is so fun and so cute, so I've got to show it to you. It had a MAGA hat on. So glad someone zoomed in on it to show us that the little bee had a MAGA hat. But either way, the president is holding this bee, and he's basically telling the bee, we're sovereign now. We're not going to be told what to do by King George or his great-grandson Charles or the New World Order or anyone. We are our own free country, and we are sovereign now. I just thought that was so fun. I wanted to show that to you. Some people, I love the Anons. They're just great. I love our patriots. They're just too great. All right, so I want you to see that. Now, the last thing I'm going to show you is this right here. This is the end of that verse I was reading before from Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 and 9. It was talking about Judah having the right to rule. But I want you to see the end of it. Check this out. Judah, your brothers will praise you. You will grasp your enemies by the neck. We talk about that, like by the scruff of the neck. You grab them. Like, you're not telling us what to do. Any of you. The satanic criminal cabal, George, any of them. And that's why I'm telling you, some of the smart aleck remarks that he made going to Congress, I don't trust him as far as I could throw him. All right? And he's also being smart aleck, like, oh yeah, about them burning down the White House. Oh, just like President Trump is doing, you know, tearing down some of the White House to build the ballroom. Anyway, some of his remarks. Oh, and how'd y'all like his cute remark about, oh, the so many of your cities will continually forever bear our name. Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia. That's what he's, you know, Williamsburg, all these places that bear their name. I bet you $5 before this is over, these names are going to get changed, because we don't want to have any of their names on any of our stuff. This is our stuff. This is our land. And we're not going to have you, your name to continue here. I bet you. What do y'all bet? I bet you that their name is going to be gone. All right. So back to Genesis chapter 49. Judah, your brothers will praise you. You will grasp your enemies by the neck. These Satan worshipers, we're grasping them by the neck. All your relatives will bow before you. George had to bow. I even think that the video that they had, that they posted on Melania's channel, her ex account, I have a feeling it was showing that Melania was up above King George. That she was, it was like a picture of him bowing to her. They'll bow before you. He had to relinquish that right to us because we have this right to rule. Judah, my son, is a young lion that has finished eating its prey. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to arouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. There you go. I'm just going to read that. I'm going to leave that right there. I want you guys to think about that and pray about that. And it's something that I've not really talked about. Years ago, I've said there are things that I can't tell you. The Lord has to tell you. And there you go. Read Isaiah 49, verse 10. There you go. Think about that one. All right. So next, I think I've got, yeah, this is the I'm not going to play the sound because the sound is not that great on it, but there they are. The national anthem is being played. Our flag is flying wildly and the British flag is being held still. You guys be still. And we're going to have our own sovereignty. We do not need you to tell us what to do. And we are not under your thumb anymore. So I believe that that's what this whole thing of Charles and Camilla coming to our country was about. They did not come over here with really a lot of this pomp and circumstance. Yes, they went and spoke at the Congress, and yes, they had some events or whatever. But the point was, they were not coming over to show that they rule. I believe that it was a moment in time, a coronation day, crowning our country. Yes, maybe President Trump and Melania, them being recognized as our rightful leaders of our country. But really, it's more importantly that we are a sovereign nation with sovereign individuals and that we are free people and not under their control. And you'll see, I have a feeling more and more happening over this next few days, just showing, proving that we are sovereign and not under their control. All right, so this is what 17 told us. And I want you to think about this, especially as you read Genesis chapter 49. It says, think bigger, biggest. That's why I named this video Biggest. This is what we're experiencing is absolutely monumental. It is really huge what we are witnessing. Think big, think bigger, biggest. All right. I think I've gone way over time, but this is really important. I didn't really know what to leave out, but I wanted you to see all of this and enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. We are so blessed to live in this day where we are witnessing us being restored to our land, being restored to our freedom. If you're not familiar with this, I have videos about the Act of 18. The Sovereignty Act. Look at that. Super, super quick. Act of 1871. Talk about this. The Act of Congress. The Organic Act, yeah, this is where we basically, after the Civil War, lost our sovereignty. They caused a civil war in our country to divide us and conquer us, and that's exactly what they did. They ended up changing our constitution so that we were a corporation under the control of the British Crown, and we are now finally at the point where we are not. We've satisfied everything, as I was reading earlier in this video, so that we are no longer under their control. And really, they were, they call this the KKK Act, the Ku Klux Klan Act. But the bottom line is, they were the ones who were making us as if we did not have our sovereignty. And that's really what this act was about. No more. All right. I think that's everything. Okay. Play this, and we're going to pray. Ooh, I didn't mean to have it right now. All right, let's pray. Thank you again, Lord, that you promised that we would have our land back, we'd have our sovereignty back, and that we would no longer be under exile, and that you would place your people in these positions, specifically President Trump, to lead us out of being under bondage and under their control. We thank you, Lord. We praise you that we are living in this day and that we are witnessing it. We are alive on this earth, and not only alive, but awake and joined in this amazing battle for the freedom of not just America, but really of all the world, that every country will have their own sovereignty back. We believe this day will come soon when Iran will have their freedom back. Every country will have their freedom back. All the people will have their freedom and no longer be ruled by this evil group. Lord, we just trust you. We trust your plan, and we just look forward to seeing all of this rolled out as everyone is set free. We thank you for the golden age. We're going to have beautiful days of health and wealth and peace for 1,000 years. This is your promise, and we believe your promise. We have the same faith as our great-great-grandfather, Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. I pray your blessing on everyone who's listening. I pray you bless them so that they'll really have that just continual peace, knowing that this is nothing can stop what is coming, because this is your plan. This is you doing this. And yes, we've got this political thing happening here and this political thing happening there, but ultimately you are the one who's in control, and that's why nothing can stop what is coming. And I just pray you bless everyone so that you'll speak to them so that they know how to protect their families, how to protect their health, to protect their protect everything in their world, and be a part of ruling and reigning with you in their own household and in their communities. We pray this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. Super quick before I go, I did something. I've worked with someone in our town, and it looks like we're going to have the Bible reading going on continually in our town, and we're going to be posting this on social media. And you know what we're doing is we're having our children. Little children will lead them. The children are going to be reading the Word of God, and we're going to be sharing this on the social media. So I hope that that is something that you guys will consider doing, and that this will be something that will be a blessing to you. And don't forget to go to melissaredpill.com. Check into all the information that we have there about health. Super important. I'm so very thankful. I have someone in my world who is sick, so please pray for my dear friend. And yeah, and just look on these health links and you'll find out more information about how important it is to get the good nutrition and how to detox and how you can fight the onslaught of the enemy against our health. Okay. And I've seen people, if the last video I did just this past Tuesday, this girl literally who has multiple sclerosis is well. These doctors don't know how to do it, but we have wonderful patriots who are helping us to get our health back. So definitely do whatever you can. Do the smoothies, do the detox, do everything you can to protect your body. And that's where we're going, because the Bible says that our lives will begin to extend until they reach 1,000 years. And I just am so thankful for it. So definitely check into that over on melissaredpill.com. I'm really thankful to know and be able to share that information. And I think that's everything. I'm going to jet out, and I will see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Okay, you guys, Central Standard Time on YouTube and on Rumble. I love you guys, and I will talk to you later.
Nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title: King of Kings and Lord of Lords.